not knowing exactly when something's going to happen, could sometimes relate to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's described as being a wind, or he moves like the wind. You can see the effects of the wind blowing down barns or trees or other things. And so you can see the effects of the Holy Spirit, even though you can't see him. This morning I want to celebrate with you the fact that this date, this day, is the most important day in the church calendar. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It is the day we celebrate the birth of the church. It's the day Jesus told his followers to look forward to and anticipate. It's the day he said, don't go anywhere. Wait in Jerusalem until I send you what the Father has promised, the promised Holy Spirit. And on Pentecost Sunday, over 2,000 years ago, or approximately 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit of God was poured out from the Father under the instruction of the Son to indwell the believers. That is the birth of the church. We exist today as a congregation of people who are followers of Jesus Christ because of what God did on Pentecost. An interesting verse about the Holy Spirit is in John chapter 7, starting at verse 37. It reads, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, I don't know about you, but maybe you've read that paragraph in the past, and like me, you focus on some of the parts earlier on in it. But isn't it interesting how it ends? The Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. But on Pentecost Sunday, Jesus had been glorified. Jesus had given his life. He had died on the cross. He had gone into the grave. But he conquered death. He conquered the grave. He rose victoriously. He ministered amongst the people for 40 days, teaching and explaining and saying that important verse that I quoted earlier about don't go anywhere, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. And then he ascended into heaven, and there he reigns on high. He's been glorified. And because he's been glorified, he was able to pour out the Holy Spirit. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit testifies to the fact that Jesus has been glorified. In fact, when Peter was preaching on that day of Pentecost, he explained to them that this is possible, Acts chapter 2. This is possible. This, what you see, this evidence of the Holy Spirit coming and being poured out upon people is possible because Christ has been glorified. So if we are people who celebrate the glorification of Christ and all that Christ accomplished, we want to be people who are living out the reality of that which testifies to that. And what is that? The empowerment of, the indwelling of, the enabling of, the equipping of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The church was birthed when the Holy Spirit came down and accomplished inside of each one of the believers what Jesus accomplished on the cross and through his resurrection and ascension. In other words, the church would not exist if God the Father had not orchestrated everything. God the Son had not died in our place and purchased our redemption and rose victoriously. And God the Holy Spirit had not come and entered the hearts of individual believers. All three are necessary for the birth of the church. You don't get a church without the Holy Spirit. But maybe you've experienced churches that ignored the Holy Spirit. I grew up never hearing about the Holy Spirit except when the doxology was done, or except when an occasional scripture might have been mentioned, like the Great Commission to go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Maybe heard the Holy Spirit mentioned, but never taught on, never explained, never introduced to us in a personal way. I went off and studied for a year at the Lutheran Bible Institute, and it wasn't until I came back from there that someone explained to me the simple role of the Holy Spirit. I'm forever indebted to my years spent in the college ministry called Campus Crusade for Christ, for there, in very simple, repeatable, transferable ways, it taught about what the Holy Spirit does. And then once you come to understand that, you can go back and look at all the things you've been immersed in before and see, well, it really was there. We just never highlighted it. We never talked about it. We never explained it. And maybe that's what it's like for some of you. You've heard about the Holy Spirit. You've heard Him mentioned. Maybe even had Him declared over you in baptism. But how are you growing in your relationship with the Holy Spirit? Acts chapter 2 says in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they, the believers, were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They went on to be worshiping the Lord in such a way that the crowd around them, the community around them, the town took notice. The Spirit came in power, coming upon and actually into each believer, and they could not hold back the worship of God. I've wondered about that. Would my worship of God ever cause somebody who's not yet a follower of Jesus to question what prompted me to worship like that? That prompted me to be that excited about God? Would my worship ever cause someone to say, how come I don't worship like that? Or I don't know God the way He apparently knows God, or I'm not that excited about God as He's excited about God? I think the Holy Spirit wants to work in you. And one of the ways He wants to work in you is to cause you to be in love with Jesus so deeply and so profoundly and so intimately that it bubbles out of you in an uncontrollable way. You cannot be held back from worshiping your Savior. Stephanie joked about that one song about how it maybe wasn't part of our Scandinavian tradition. But you know what? Scandinavian Christians worship their Savior as the Holy Spirit works in them to draw them deeper and deeper in love with their Savior. I think that a time of intense worship is coming to your heart. I think God is wanting to bring you into a fresh encounter with Him through His Word, through the prompting of the Spirit, so that you're more aware of Him, what He's done for you, what He's doing in you, and your gratefulness bubbles out of you. You cannot help but let it bubble out of you. That verse I read from John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to Me and drink. Whoever believes in Me, as the Scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. That's what happens when the Spirit's in you. It's like streams of water gushing out of you. There's thoughts, there's feelings, there's decisions of the will, there's actions, things that are prompted from inside by the work of the Holy Spirit in us, so that the worship of God, the love of God, flows out in ever-increasing abundance. Is the Holy Spirit doing that in you? Ephesians chapter 5. There's an instruction here for us. The part that gets focused on usually is the little tiny phrase that says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says that. A little phrase, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That word filled is a present, ongoing tense. So it's saying be continually, over and over, filled with the Holy Spirit. It's this ongoing thing. It starts and it continues. It's like something is being poured in. It continues to be poured in. In other words, it's something that you experience once and then again, and then again, and then again, and then again. The Holy Spirit is filling you, pouring into you, continually moving into you. But I want to read the larger context of this paragraph in Scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, so you see the results of it. 17 starts this way. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And then it's a comma. It's not a period. It's an ongoing sentence. It's actually one of those famous Paul wrote that's a run-on sentence. You have to look for an end to that sentence, although sometimes a long time. Well, here he is doing that. It says, be filled with the Holy Spirit and doing these things, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. In other words, when a person is being continually filled with the Holy Spirit, something's going to change in the way that person behaves, the way that person talks, the way that person thinks, the way that person feels. The Holy Spirit is going to be influencing, directing, guiding, reminding us of what God's Word says, what Jesus has said, drawing us into an ever-increasing encounter with Him. It'll result in someone being filled with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Songs, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Addressing one another that way. Let's try that, would we? We got a picnic coming up. We got a potluck meal coming up. Don't use your normal vocabulary. Only use psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs as you converse with one another. You got to think of a little phrase of a song, maybe. How are you today? Or whatever it might be. But you know, use your creativity. Well, maybe not. But apparently, Paul is saying these people, these Christians, when they get together, they interact in such a way as that they're lifting each other up so that praise is erupting. Maybe our evaluation from every conversation ought to be, I wonder what that person thinks of me as you walk away. Maybe instead our question might be, I wonder what that person thinks about God after we've conversed, after we've interacted. Oh, it's so easy to be self-focused and concerned about how you are perceived. But could I encourage you to be more concerned about how that person you're interacting with perceives God? If you're interacting with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, if they're bubbling out of you, hopefully what's happening is that person is wanting to encounter God more. They're growing in their relationship with God. The Spirit will create within you worship. Singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the Spirit helps you pray prayers of thanksgiving. Pray prayers of gratitude. The role of the Holy Spirit, you can think of it as twofold. It's to bring you into relationship with Christ, make Christ known to you, remind you what He said, cause faith to erupt in you, and secondly, to help you live like Christ. Help you to know Christ and live like Christ. That's the role of the Holy Spirit in your life. And here He's saying that as you let the Holy Spirit work in you, what's going to happen is He's going to infect in impact your prayer life. I encourage you, when you are going through your day, to be continually praying a prayer of thanksgiving to God the Father and God the Son for the Holy Spirit. And you can actually address the Holy Spirit. He is God. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling me. Please fill me to overflowing today. And please guide my thoughts, guide my feelings, and guide my prayers. If you pray that prayer before you pray your other prayers, I think your other prayers will be more like Jesus' prayers. Jesus prayed in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. A couple weeks ago, as we introduced this series of messages, we looked at Luke chapter 11, where Jesus was asked by a disciple, teach us how to pray. And Jesus gave a four-part answer. He said, if you want to pray like me, pray with this pattern. And he gave him the Lord's Prayer pattern. And it has all these different types of prayer that keeps us from just doing the gimme, 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 gimme prayer. So he gave him a pattern. Then he gave him this parable or this picture for prayer. And it's a persistence. If you want to pray like Jesus, you pray with persistence. And then he gave him these promises about asking and seeking and knocking and receiving and having open to us. Amazing promises in prayer. But he concluded it with a surprise fourth point. And he said that if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? In other words, teach us to pray. The surprise ending, you need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the empowerer of our prayers. Jesus said, don't go anywhere. Don't start ministry. Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait until you receive what the Father has promised. And when the Holy Spirit came upon them on that day of Pentecost, praise and prayer erupted from them. So much so that people noticed. Oh, would our prayers have that kind of impact? Oh, would our praise have that kind of impact? Do you know anybody that repeats the phrase, well, praise the Lord? Sometimes they tack on the word, anyway. Well, praise the Lord, anyway. I heard Roy use that phrase this week as I visited with him. Roy's one of those guys that says that frequently. Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, might that be true of us? Might we have the Holy Spirit filling us so that praise erupts out of us, so that the world takes notice? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. How will you witness? One of the ways will be the praise that flows out of you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Pentecost Sunday, that you did not just leave us here by ourselves, that you sent the promised Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We invite you to fill us, not just once, but in an ongoing, gushing way. Fill us to overflowing so that rivers of water flow from within us and out of us to the people around us. Lord, may we be continually guided by your Spirit, empowered by your Spirit, encouraged by your Spirit. May you use the word of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, to guide us into ever-increasing understanding of who God the Father is, God the Son is, God the Holy Spirit is, and how we're to interact with them so that we grow in our love for them and so that we become more like them. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Have your way with us, Holy Spirit. We invite you to be in charge of our lives, in charge of our church, in charge of everything we do, from our jobs to our parenting to our interactions in our community. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to have your way over our eating today and over our picnicking today and over the Bethany board camp today and over everything that goes on today. We invite you, Holy Spirit, be in charge. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.